The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the hole 6010.
Welcome into a very special quarantine edition Fantasy Focus Football Podcast audio league content here. Field and Matthew hanging out with you. What's happening, Padre?
You know what, Field? I'm very excited. I just discovered a new Instagram account that I followed.
Okay,
at what's Cisco, at Cisco Dog. What? Daniel Field has an Instagram account for his dog. Tell
what?
Me that's not the most Field Yates thing ever.
Of course you do. Here's the question, though. How many followers right now?
So here's a fun fact for you. Chapin does an excellent job of running Cisco Golden Boy. So I can look this up, but she's the one that has control of Cisco Golden Boy, which I'm going to get the answer to that question. He has 960 followers at the time that we are discussing this on the podcast right now.
And how long has he had an Instagram?
He's got 12 posts, so not long. And he's only 3 months old, so less than 3 months. We've had him for like 5 weeks.
I mean, a thousand followers in like three weeks, Daniel, is unbelievable.
He's coming for you, Matthew. I'm telling you, Cisco Golden Boy is going to get more likes than Matthew Berry on Instagram, and I'm sorry about it.
I'll just say this right now, Field Yates. You know I love you, and I know you know I love Chapin. But if Cisco Golden Boy posts a photo of a beignet, so help me God, I am coming for you and coming for that dog.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Coming up on this podcast today, Matthew, you and Daniel, I believe, or was just Daniel, spoke to Browns running back Nick Chubb. An exclusive interview that will air at the conclusion of this podcast, and we're using the NFLPA's top 10 rising stars that they identified and as a jumping off point, which will eventually lead to the Nick Chubb interview. But a lot of names, they're all familiar, but could be fun to kind of just discuss them in the fantasy context for this upcoming year.
Yeah, our good friends at the NFLPA helped set up the interview with Nick, and every year they release their rising stars list. So you probably see this a decent amount. Where what they do is every year they release their top 50 jersey sales, right? We've seen this all the time. You know, Tom Brady's been on the list forever and ever, their top 50 jersey sales. And so what they do is they release a list of the rising stars, which, as they describe it, it aims to identify players poised to have an impact on consumer sales and eventually rank among the top sellers of officially licensed player merchandise. And so, in essence, basically, it's a way of, like, these are stars that we think – you know, that not only will fans, you know, react to and already have reacted to, but are going to, start wearing their jerseys more and, you know, start buying bobbleheads of them and everything like that. And so it's an interesting list of players, many of whom are familiar to fantasy players. And you and I, always looking for cheap excuses to do content in the off season, decided let's use this top 10 list as a jumping off point to talk about some of these players, because I think there are a lot of very interesting names for fantasy on the NFLPA Rising Stars list, including Nick Chubb. And so we have that exclusive interview coming up next. But in a little bit, I think you're going to want to hear that. It was really good. But Field, why don't you start us off here? Who's the first guy on the list?
Number 10 on this list is Mecole Hardman, wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs. Last year, as wide receiver 71 on a points per game basis. Matthew's got him at 48. I've got him at the NR, as in not ranked. Maybe a bit of an oversight here, Matthew, but it is worth noting that best case scenario for Mecole Hardman is the third passing option on an offense, and worst case scenario could legitimately be fifth or sixth, right? I mean, between Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Sammy Watkins, but you're more optimistic on Hardman going into year two.
Well, I don't know that I would say 48 is more optimistic, you know, but yes, you know, I mean, the way I do my rankings is comparatively so, yes. I have him higher than the ESPN consensus ranks. I have him ranked higher than you. So certainly of the quote three of us, I am the most optimistic. The way I do my rankings is how I sort of would draft. And if I'm down there at the end of the draft, give me a guy with tremendous upside. I always talk about this when I do my draft day manifesto about range of outcomes. And, you know, listen, Mecole Hardman could be Tyreek Hill. Like, he was originally drafted when there was questions about Tyreek Hill's availability going into last year. He's incredibly fast. He's somebody that had some nice moments last year. He was seventh in terms of games with a 30 or more yard reception, and yet he ranked 116th in routes run. Like, he didn't run very many routes, and yet he still was among the league leaders in big plays. So if you're on the field with Patrick Mahomes, good things can happen. And so you think about sort of the competition there, in that, yes, there's certainly a lot of mouths to feed in Kansas City. Sammy Watkins has had trouble staying healthy. So there's a chance he could crack the starting lineup at some point. We know Mecole Hardman is the future there. DeMarcus Robinson did come back, but it seemed like they let him hang out in free agency. They were okay losing him for a little bit here, Field. And I do think that offense is explosive enough to support, you know, four different fantasy viable pass catchers or players, if you will. So, yeah, I mean, Hardman is a guy that needs to carve out a regular role, but the talent is there. The talent is there, and potentially the opportunity.
Let's stay in the AFC West and go to Denver, whose skill group all of a sudden is one of the most intriguing, really, in the entire NFL. Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, and Noah Fant. They obviously have a two-headed backfield with Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay. Their quarterback, Drew Lock, is the key to this all. So last year, he was tied with Eli Manning on a points-per-game basis at 13.6, but we're expecting a big jump here, Matthew. I had him at 21. You've got him at 18. The consensus ranks is right at quarterback 20. I think this is probably more a reflection of just the depth of quarterbacks. And, Matthew, I've been saying this in the sort of evaluation of quote-unquote real football. I don't know that there's a player who has as much variance this upcoming year, in my mind, as Drew Lock, right? He could be a star. He really could. I mean, there was one time where we thought he would be a first-round pick going into last year, but then he also slid to pick 40 and didn't start until, like, midway through the season. So where are you at on Drew Lock as a late-round flyer?
I think that's exactly right, late-round flyer. I agree with you. Wide range of variance here with Drew Lock. And give John Elway and the Denver Broncos organization credit, because they're saying that, like, listen, if Drew Lock fails, it's not going to be because we didn't give him anything to work with. I mean, they draft Noah Fant. They've got Cortland Sutton there. This year, they give him Jerry Jeudy. They give him KJ Hamler. They go out and sign Melvin Gordon. They improve their offensive line. Like, they are going to say, like, listen, if this kid fails, it's not because he doesn't have any weapons around him. But there are concerns about the talent. He does only have, I believe, 5 games started in the NFL. We have questions about the offense. Is this going to be a run-first offense still? You know, as they let him get his sea legs, so to speak. And I think late-round flyer is the right call. I have him in a – I just did a dynasty startup a little while ago, and I got him as my third quarterback, and I was thrilled, and everyone in the draft room was like, who's my next pick? And so, I think he's a really interesting guy for dynasty. But this year, he's a deep league guy. He's a two-quarterback league guy. I'm with you, Field. Could easily – has the weapons and the talent to potentially be a top 12-ish guy. But also, because of the depth of the position, because we just don't know yet, there could be some inconsistency. We did, however, see a flash of it last year, week 14. He was the 8th best quarterback in fantasy in week 14. So we've seen it in you know, very small sample sizes. Can he put it together for a whole season?
Yeah, totally. And the other problem, Matthew, I mentioned the depth of quarterbacks. You've got other guys that are going to be viewed in the same way. Daniel Jones, probably the trendiest one, that, like, Daniel Jones is perhaps people's more preferred late-round quarterback target.
I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second and just say that if Daniel Jones becomes a late-round quarterback, then I have failed. Then I will have failed, because I'm going to be – I already have been somewhat, and I'm going to be banging the drum for Daniel Jones and actually the entire Giants offense this offseason. I actually have Daniel Jones as QB 12 in my rankings, and I know there are some other people, other fantasy analysts out there that are also on this bandwagon. I had a little bit of a Twitter string about it the other day, and so if Daniel Jones winds up as a late-round quarterback, I will have failed, because I'm going to try to get his ADP in the top 12.
Okay. I think there's a chance that will happen. Let's go back to Kansas City. We've got Damian Williams, who, remember, he was so awesome in the Super Bowl. There was probably a pretty reasonable case for him as the MVP of that game, which went to Patrick Mahomes. I'm not going to quibble over that one too much. Last year, he was RB24 on a points-per-game basis. You've got him at 37. I've got him at 34, Matthew, but there is a big, huge problem. which is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, was drafted 32nd overall by the Chiefs, and we've already heard the name Brian Westbrook plus as the comparison for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't think Damian Williams becomes irrelevant, but I do have a hard time in my imagining him as the workhorse for Kansas City, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, just watching from the sidelines.
Certainly, and you know, we talk about the variance with Drew Lock. There's tremendous variance with Damian Williams. We are all assuming, and obviously my ranks and your ranks reflect this as well, we are all assuming that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the main running back for the Kansas City Chiefs. And certainly the first-round pick suggests that as well. You think about last year where there was only twice last season Williams had more than 13 carries in a game. He struggled with injuries throughout his career. However, like, if Patrick Mahomes is like, this guy won us a Super Bowl, that's the guy I want in the backfield with me. If Andy Reid is like, listen, we're a veteran team, we're the Super Bowl champs, you know, CEH is going to have to earn his way onto the field, it could easily be one of those things, Field, where we start the season and everyone has drafted Edwards-Helaire as the number one Chiefs running back. And for the first part of the season, Damian Williams is the guy. And that maybe by the end of the year, Edwards-Helaire is the better fantasy running back, either because of, you know, he overtakes the job or the injury bug once again hits Williams. But, you know, if Damian Williams is the starting running back of the Chiefs, if he's the guy that we saw in the postseason in the Super Bowl where he's getting the majority of the work, he's a bargain, you know, as a running back four, which is where he's being drafted, which is where you and I have him. I mean, so, you know, obviously I'm on team CEH. I think his talent is unmistakable. I think there's a reason Andy drafted him in the first round. But, you know, the fact that we're just sitting here saying the fantasy value of Damian Williams is nothing, I think is ridiculous. That he's got no chance to be fantasy relevant this year. He could be a star.
He certainly could be. And a guy that became a star last year, Raheem Mostert of the 49ers, really took control of that backfield late in the season as much as a guy could. Tevin Coleman was still in the mix. Matt Breida was still in the mix. Jeff Wilson was hogging some touchdowns every once in a while.
Before we move on to Mostert real quickly, I just want your thoughts on Williams. I actually like the idea because I don't think Andy Reid's a guy that sort of – I know he did last year because of injuries and didn't have the depth that he wanted. But for the most part, Andy Reid's career has been one running back. He's been a main running back guy. And I don't mind, especially given where their ADP is, saying like, hey, I really want to draft Damian Williams because I'm also going to draft CEH. And I will have wrapped up the Chiefs starting running back for, you know, a 20-ish pick, you know, and a 40-ish pick, you know, in mid-30, you know, pick 20 and pick 35 is around where they're going-ish.
Yeah, I can see my – put it this way. Could I see myself double dipping with the Chiefs? I'm trying to think of an appropriate comparison last year of a team that maybe made a larger than normal running back investment where I actually was inclined to double dip. Maybe like early on in the offseason when it seemed like Melvin Gordon was going to eventually show up. I could justify it. I tend to think, you know, I'm just looking at the Chiefs roster and the needs they could have addressed at pick 32. And part of me wonders if the Chiefs really had no plans to draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire until he's just sitting there at pick 32 and then we can't help ourselves. So obviously I'm a bigger fan of Helaire. We both are. Edwards-Helaire or just Helaire? I wonder what his singular last name would be. But yeah, there's certainly, I mean, there are worse backfields to totally hog than the one that's probably going to score the most points in the NFL. But let's move forward to the 49ers, Matthew, because Raheem Mostert was awesome last year for the 49ers. Matt Breida is gone. They now are down to sort of a three-man backfield with Mostert and also Tevin Coleman and also Jeff Wilson, except for the fact that we could have Jerick McKinnon back as well. You have him at 22, Raheem Mostert. I've got him at 24, which is actually exactly where he is with the consensus ranks. He's going to have a role in this team, no doubt. He's going to carry the ball a lot. I have no doubt about that. It's probably just a matter of what, if any, passing game used to get, and just how much does Jerick McKinnon factor in the backfield? Because remember, he was the one that they made the biggest investment in a few years ago, and they gave him a $32 million contract.
Yeah, and it's always tough with the 49ers because they use so many running backs, and Kyle likes to mix it up. So McKinnon is, by the way, an interesting late round flyer, McKinnon, and we'll wait to see, you know, hopefully he's fully 100% healthy. But I think Mostert just sort of like kept increasing his role. Like they didn't, he's not a guy they had any plans for. He just earned his way into the field and just continued to earn more and more playing time. Here's a guy that got double-digit carries in each of his final five games. He scored a rushing touchdown in every single one of those. Remember the regular season finale at Seattle when he scored two as well? You know, and the crazy part is just, like, he was so explosive. When he got nine or more touches last year, just, which isn't a high bar to cross, when he got nine or more touches last year, he averaged 15.3 fantasy points per game. To me, to the eye test field, last year at least, he was by far their most explosive running back. He looked better than Matt Breida. He looked better than Tevin Coleman. We'll see what McKinnon looks like. We know that the 49ers are going to be a couple of things. We know they're going to be one of the run heaviest teams in the NFL. We know it's going to be one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, especially after they added Trent Williams for my Redskins. Don't get me started on that whole bungled deal. Thank you so much, Bruce Allen. But and to me, where he's going in terms of his ADP, like, you know, going outside the top 20, like, I think he is a bargain, will continue to be a bargain. You know, I think there people will be scared off because of the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan and the multiple running back usage, but that offense has proven they run so much they can support two fantasy relevant running backs. And so you call him Raheem Mostert, I call him Raheem Must Start. Thank you very much.
Really well done. Your finest work yet. Deebo Samuel, his teammate, is also on the rising star list. Matthew, you're fairly optimistic on Deebo at wide receiver 21. I've got him at wide receiver 33. The consensus is 29. You know, in digging my heels and a little bit, or maybe sinking my teeth more into 49ers research recently, I do wonder if maybe I'm too low on Deebo Samuel. And he's such a unique player. He ran the football a decent amount last year. They used him in such creative ways. And with no Emmanuel Sanders now, there are wide receiver targets to be had for Deebo Samuel, who could emerge as one of their most important playmakers.
Second half of the year last year, he was a top 15 fantasy wide receiver. To your point, it's not just the pass catching, but it's the sweeps and the jet motions. They find different ways to get the ball in his hands, and I just think he's a special player, and I think one of the reasons why they were comfortable letting Emmanuel Sanders go is because of what they have in Deebo Samuel. Now, it is a run-first offense, and the number one pass catcher on that team is still going to be George Kittle. But the number two guy, I think, is definitely going to be Deebo Samuel. And I know they drafted Ayuk, and, you know, they have high hopes for Trent Taylor, and we'll see how it all shakes out. But, again, Deebo Samuel, who had 8.1 yards per catch after reception, that was the best among all 41 wide receivers that caught at least 55 passes last year. And that is a Kyle Shanahan trait of his offense. Get your guys the ball in space and let them run after the catch. And so Deebo is such a perfect fit for what they do in San Francisco. Going into his second year field, we always talk about how the biggest jump an NFL player makes is from year one to year two. I am all in on Deebo Samuel this year.
I like that call there, Matthew. You're convincing me I need to move him up my rankings. Again, I've got him at 33, sure, which feels like too low, but there's so many good players at wide receiver, including Hollywood Brown, the Ravens' second-year wide receiver, who recently made social media headway by posting a video of him getting some work in. He looks like he is in crazy good shape. Not that he wasn't before, but remember, last year he dealt with a bunch of injuries. This might be a little bit of the offense he plays in, Matthew. Perhaps no team relied on its wide receivers less than Hollywood Brown, than the Ravens, and players like Hollywood Brown and Seth Roberts and Willie Snead and others. Is volume the issue with Hollywood Brown?
It, you know what, you want to say that it is. It is. It's volume. It's route run. It's routes run. I have him at 34, and I wonder if I'm a little bit too low on him. Yeah, you know, here's a guy that he didn't get a ton of targets last year. It was his rookie year. He was coming off the Liz Frank, and yet still. And still, he had nine games last year with four or more targets, just four or more targets, and he averaged 14.8 fantasy points per game. Like, he doesn't need a lot of touches to be impactful. Now, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here, because the offseason, you know, basically the Ravens came out last year and hit everyone in the mouth and like, whoa, what is this? Defensive coordinators, especially those that are playing the Ravens here, had all season to study that tape and be like, all right, now we know what we're dealing with Lamar Jackson. And listen, saying you're going to stop it is a lot easier than actually stopping it, but they'll certainly be more prepared for the kind of offense Baltimore is running. All that said, Marquise Brown, now a second year in, he's the number one wide receiver on one of, if not the best offense in the NFL. And so I have him at 34, slightly higher than where he's going in terms of ADP, but I think I still actually might be too low on Marquise Brown. I like Miles Boykin to take a step this year, and obviously you've got Mark Andrews there. We know they're going to be run heavy, but still, he's the number one wide receiver on an offense, and I think his route tree is going to expand to more than just the deep stuff, you know?
Yeah, the hardest part for me is just, like, at some point you're replacing. Like, if you're saying I go from, I'm at 40, from 40 to 30, it's like I'm moving him ahead of other players that either I've already seen do it or have a much clearer path to fantasy relevance. So I think, again, some of these ranks need to be keeping in mind that right now every wide receiver is healthy, right? Right now every wide receiver has the optimistic view around them. So having it wide receiver 40 for me might be a little bit of that'll adjust itself as we get much closer to the season. One of the wide receivers that both you and I have ahead of him is DK Metcalf, the second-year hulking Seahawks wide receiver. You've got him at 30, I've got him at 31. Consensus rank is 28. A guy who last year proved NFL teams wrong. He had 19 end zone targets. That was the most in the NFL. It's an excellent quarterback he is playing with. It is a run-heavy team, Matthew, but just because you run the football a lot doesn't mean there's not enough targets for two wide receivers. And I think DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett both have, you know, top 20-ish upside.
They certainly do. And to your point just about the wide receiver position in general, this is one of the things. It's like you start going down the list and you're like, oh, yeah, that guy's good. Oh, that guy's good too. Like, honestly, anywhere from, like, wide receiver 15 to, like, wide receiver 35 to 40 – all you can make an argument for all of them to be up or down, just, you know, because there's such incredible depth of the position, which is one of the reasons why I think you'll see a very running back heavy first two rounds when you do drafts this year, because it gets a lot dicier with running back than wide receiver this year as you get further in the draft. Trust me, when you start doing some mock drafts, you'll see that. As for DK Metcalf, certainly another guy that, honestly, that's a guy that I missed the boat on, Field. Like, I did not think he would have nearly the impact he would have in his rookie year, given how run-heavy Seattle we expected them to be. But here's a guy that literally led the NFL in end zone targets, okay? He had 19 end zone targets. That's the most by a rookie since Kelvin Benjamin in 2014. So the most in five seasons. So a guy that they just looked for a lot. Seven different games with over 100 air yards. I mean, so honestly, again, as we talk about coming into year two, we always see players making a big leap. He is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. We think this offense will be opened up a little bit more, especially when you think about their running game, right? They've got Chris Carson. We're not expecting Rashad Penny to start the season healthy. He'll probably start on the physically unable to perform list. We'll see if Marshawn Lynch comes back. Who knows? But right now it's a pretty thin running back room with Chris Carson. They got DJ Dallas, who's more of a special teams guy, Travis Homer. I mean, it's just not a big – so I think they're going to be a more pass-friendly offense this year. DK Metcalf certainly looks the part. He's like a young Daniel Dopp with his shirt off. And so DK Metcalf, to me, there's a reason why he made the NFLPA's rising stars list, like everyone we're talking about in this podcast.
Fair enough there. Yeah, DK Metcalf is an exciting guy. And, again, the Seahawks have the ingredients in place at quarterback specifically to make him a fantasy star again this year. Let's wrap things up with a couple of running backs, Matthew. Of course, one of them being Nick Chubb, who you, again, exclusively spoke with not long ago. But let's begin with Aaron Jones, the Packers running back, who was third in terms of points per game amongst backs last year. Consensus ranks from 9. You've got him at 9. I've got him at 11, Matthew. He's a really weird player to rank because if you listen to Mike Clay at all, you know about regression. And the reality is that it's going to be really hard for him to score 16 times again and score on nearly 7% of his carries. They did add a second running back, a second round running back in A.J. Dillon out of Boston College. And yet you don't want to miss the boat on Aaron Jones because maybe the reality is this guy's just a superstar.
Yeah, I mean, I think all those things can be true, right? And I'm worried that once again we're gonna have to dust off our hashtag Free Aaron Jones movement and bring that back. But right now I'm hoping that ultimately talent wins out. He can regress, and I think I don't have this I don't have any stats in front of me, but I think it was 16 rushing touchdowns, but I want to say he had 18 or 19 total touchdowns last year. Someone can look that up and keep me honest there, but I guess my point is that I think he can have regression and still be worthy of being a top 10 fantasy running back. You know, I mean, like, if instead of, you know, whatever it is, 18 or 16 touchdowns, he scores 12, like, you're still taking that. We expect the Packers offense to be run heavy. We expect the, he had 19 total, I am told.
Yep.
I got a note here. So 16 rushing, you were correct there, Field, and 19 total touchdowns. So, like, even if he goes 12 total touchdowns, which would obviously be significant regression from what he did last year, that's still pretty good, especially since we expect him to handle the majority of the work. Not all of it. It is going to be a running back committee. They will have some Jamal Williams in there, and you'll certainly see A.J. Dillon. A.J. Dillon's not going to be on third down, and they don't have a lot of pass catchers. I mean, that was the thing that really came out last year, was how much they used both running backs, Williams and Jones, in the passing game here. So Jones is a really tough one. Like, if it's just talent, to me, he's a top five guy. But, you know, the Packers sometimes get weird. But ultimately, I'm banking on Aaron Rodgers wanting Aaron Jones out there. You know, he was a guy that was clamoring for him, got him out there, and obviously they had a tremendous season on the NFL field last year with Aaron Jones as their lead back. But he's a tough one. You have him at 11. You're a little bit more concerned about A.J. Dillon, maybe both of
his touchdowns? Concern is very relative when we're talking about running back 11 still. But yes, it's as simple as if the touchdowns level off a little bit, and I know that both he and Jamal Williams are set to be free agents after this season, which is part of the reason why they invested in A.J. Dillon. But, like, what if A.J. Dillon comes in and gets, maybe not half the goal line work, but, you know, he is a 240. He's the closest thing from an athletic profile standpoint in this year's class that we had to Derrick Henry. He is a freight train. He's 250 pounds. He can really run. So, you know, that could be a little bit of a concern for the possibility of, you know, 10, 12, 14 touchdowns again for Aaron Jones. But not too far behind you at running back 11, and a player that we're both very optimistic on, Matthew. I've got him at 6. You've got him at 7. ESPN has the consensus ranks, has him at 8. Is Nick Chubb. And I think in some ways last year in the second half, even though it was a different offensive coordinator than we'll see this year, we got a little bit of peace of mind, right? Because Nick Chubb played with Kareem Hunt a lot last year, and it did not impact his fantasy value dramatically, which some people feared. Hey, Kareem Hunt gets into the mix, and all of a sudden Nick Chubb goes from like a locked in RB1 to maybe an RB2. It was not the case. He was incredible last season.
He was. I mean, his fantasy production certainly dropped somewhat with Kareem Hunt there. He was still very useful over the second half of the season, but fantasy-wise, he put up more points per game without Kareem Hunt there than with him there. Having said that, and you'll hear, I talked to Nick Chubb about what the backfield's going to look like and what our projections are for him and his thoughts on that, his thoughts on fantasy production, what he's doing in the offseason. So you'll hear that in this interview coming up. I think the hope here is that with Kevin Stefanski now calling the plays, and you think about Kevin Stefanski, you know, he was in Minnesota and, you know, the rushing work they did with Dalvin Cook. And so the hope here is that even though Kareem Hunt is there and taking away work from Nick Chubb over a full year, that the offense is more efficient. They're in scoring opportunity more often. You know, remember, this is a guy that he was the only player in the NFL last year with 15 different games of 15 or more carries. So even with Kareem Hunt there for half of those, he still got a very heavy workload, and they improved their offensive line in a big way this year as well, Field.
Yeah, a pair of new tackles and Jack Conklin at right tackle, and then Jedrick Wills, their first-round pick from Alabama, will play left tackle. So the Browns seem to have all the pieces in place, and I know that people have fallen that trap previously, Matthew, but even last year when they were a cluster bleep on offense, Nick Chubb was incredible. He laid out some of the stats, and he's just an incredibly powerful running back that should be able to match close to his production from last season. And we look forward to hearing from Nick Chubb, and you can do so right now. Here is Matthew's conversation with the great Nick Chubb. Who's that?
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
He's Matthew Berry. So in 2019, this man led the NFL in terms of percentage of carries of his team, percentage of team rushing yards. He's the only player in the NFL with 15 different games of 15 or more carries. He had over 1,700 total yards. He was the eighth best running back in fantasy, number 24 on the field, number one in your heart, fantasy superstar Nick Chubb. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Well, I'm really good. It's, you know, it's weird. You and I are talking to each other over Zoom. Because we're all quarantined here. Now, for me, I normally have a dad bod, so I'm good at the moment, right? Like, because I'm sitting around in my sweats and whatever. I'm eating Cheetos. But you're a professional football player. How has quarantine affected your normal off-season routine?
It's been great. I mean, I've had more time to do, you know, things I like. You know, usually we go back during OTAs and kind of, you know, get in the rhythm of, you know, football, running, conditioning, and things like that. But I mean, now I'm just working out every day, conditioning on my own, getting my body exactly how I want it. So, I mean, we have so much time, so it's like it's no excuse to not come back, you know, in shape and the best fit you've been.
So you feel good. Have you heard anything? You know, there's all sorts of rumors out there, but just in terms from the Browns, in terms of there's talk of reopening facilities. Have you talked to anyone from the Browns in terms of when you might be back in with the facilities and back with your teammates?
Yeah, nobody knows. So I'm just taking it day by day. But I know the NFL has said that everyone will start at the same time. So even if Ohio is doing better than like California, New York, you know, we won't be able to go back until everybody goes back. So we're in this thing together. We're waiting on, you know, the whole United States to get things going again.
So it's been an interesting offseason in Cleveland. New head coach, new offensive system in Kevin Stefanski. Obviously one of the, you know, challenges of what we're all going through here is you're not there going through the practices, but have you had any chance to talk to Kevin about the offense, his vision for you and your role on the team in 2020?
Not exactly, you know, my role or anything, but I have talked to him. I met him in February before everything went crazy. Got a chance just to meet him and, you know, get to know him. And I like him a lot. I mean, he's definitely a great guy. I can tell he's about working and not about nothing else. And that's what I like.
Well, he's certainly, you know, he's had tremendous success offensively and certainly with running backs. We all saw what Dalvin Cook did last year. My question is that did you guys get any chance or have you gotten any chance, whether it's with position coach or just the sense in terms of what your role might be? Because in Minnesota, it was Dalvin all the time, right? And obviously here in Cleveland, it's not just you, but it's also Kareem. So any sense on how he might want to deploy the two of you?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But, you know, Kareem is a very talented running back. He can run the ball, catch the ball. He can pretty much do, you know, anything out there on the field. So I'm curious to see how they balance it because, you know, Kareem is an exceptional player. You know, I can run the ball well, too. So I think it's just going to be, you know, me and him just sharing the load, doing everything. You know, just both of us out there on the field. And it'll be no, like, drawback if he's out there, if I'm out there, because we're both, you know, really good.
Well, whether it was at Georgia and now at Cleveland, you've had moments where you were the guy, but it's always been like, you look around the running back room and it's like, it's filled with talent, whether it was Georgia or in Cleveland. And so, how does that change your mindset at all when you know, like, hey, it's just me as you were, you know, in your rookie year after Carlos had been traded to, Jacksonville? Or, you know, when you're in Georgia with a bunch of great running backs that are now in the pros as well, or whether you're here in Cleveland with Kareem. Does it change your mindset in terms of entering the game?
It is a different mindset. When you're the only guy and you know that you're going to get the ball every play and then you're going to have to run routes and you got to block, you're not leaving the field, you're staying in the field the whole game. It's a different mindset. I know now I'm going to the game. I know I can catch a breather. I know I have a guy coming in who's, you know, just as good, and he's going to, you know, make plays too. So it's a different mindset, but I'm all for sharing the load. I don't mind, you know, getting out the field, letting another guy get the ball. You know, just it's all team effort.
Yeah, is there I'm curious, just let's talk about your teammates for a second. You played with Sony Michel and Todd Gurley at Georgia. You're now playing with Kareem Hunt. Talk to me a little bit about those running backs. Is there anything that you learned from any one of those guys specifically?
Yeah, I mean, Todd, I learned a lot from Todd. He's different. You know, I can't really do what he do, what he did, because he was just special, just naturally gifted, and he just made plays, you know, on game day. So from what I learned from Todd was going into game day was a different mindset. Like he, you know, Monday through like Friday, he was just, you know, a normal person, just laughing, having fun, you know, joking around. But Saturday on game day, he's a whole different person. His mindset changes. He doesn't talk. He doesn't smile. He doesn't laugh. He goes to the game just a different person. I learned that from Ty. You know, game day, you got to approach it differently. And Sony, I mean, I learned just, you know, be more versatile with Sony, you know, do different things, catch the ball. You know, he catches well. He's very quick and elusive and just things like that. I learned from those guys.
Let's talk a little bit about the Cleveland offense. Obviously, the year did not go last year the way you guys had hoped it would. What do the Browns need to do differently this year to have the kind of season you guys want?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, last year was definitely a disappointment for all of us. So I think we just got to use that as motivation, the fuel to the fire. Things didn't go as planned last year, but it is what it is. You know, we can learn from it and just keep moving forward. And, I mean, whenever we get together, we just got to put our head down and go to work. Don't listen to the outside world. Don't, you know, drink the Kool-Aid, as they say. Just, you know, worry about the teammates in the locker room and just go to work every day.
Well, I know you told the Jim Rome show, you said, you know, that last year you just thought it, I think this is a quote where we thought it was just going to happen. We didn't put the work in last year, that was your feeling about last year. And now you come into a new season with a new head coach and you're not able to be together because of the situation we're all in. Have you been texting with your teammates? Are you guys, you know, trying to find ways to motivate each other to make sure, hey, this is the year we do put in the work, that we do maximize the talent? Because there is obviously a tremendous amount of talent on this team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're not able to be together right now, but we're doing a virtual off-season training. So we're Zooming every day. And, I mean, that's all we can do right now. So we're taking full advantage of that. You know, every day we're still learning. We're still going over plays. It's pretty much as we're there, but, you know, besides the physical part. But all the mental part, you know, we're still there. We're still on it every day.
What does Baker Mayfield need to do to have the kind of season that I know Baker expects of himself?
I'm not sure. I mean, Bate, he's going to play his game no matter what. So I think for Bate, just to, you know, keep doing what he's doing. Last year was tough, but, you know, not get too down on himself. Just be there to make the plays we need.
What does Austin Hooper bring to this offense, you think? Obviously, you know, you haven't been able to practice with him, but I'm sure you're familiar with his game. It was a nice signing by the Browns. What do you think Austin brings to the team?
Yeah, I mean, he's a tremendous player. I mean, he just brings that big physical tight end. That we can use well. You know, he can catch the ball well and break tackles and make big plays. So we just add another guy to our arsenal. He's going to be a great player for us.
Seems like if you guys go to more two tight end sets and you have Njoku and Hooper out there, that's going to open up things for you. Stefanski loves to use play action. So it's important, obviously, to have a strong running game than to set up, you know, and they're loading the box thinking you or Kareem are coming up the middle. And then, you know, and then they've got pick your poison. You got Juice and OBJ trying to figure out which one of those guys to guard. And so certainly very important. And I think it's going to be very interesting and fun to see what you guys do on offense. Now I do fantasy football, so we're concerned about stats. So I know this is tough, but I'm gonna put you on the spot for fantasy football. I'm not saying which one you like more. I'm not saying which one you think is the better player in terms of just stats, pure numbers. Who would you draft first in fantasy football, Jarvis Landry or Odell Beckham Jr.?
You know, that's really a tough question because, for one, you know, Odell, he's going to have those games where he just goes crazy and, like, four touchdowns, like 200 yards, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's hard to pass on that. But then if you get Juice, you're going to get a consistent – you know, 1-2 touchdowns a game, you know, 80-yard catching, receiving. So, me, you know, I don't really like gambling, so I probably just have to go with Juice. But I'm going to miss out on Odell having that crazy game, you know?
But that's a great analysis, Nick. You're absolutely right, because there is a consistency, a nice floor what Jarvis brings you every single week. And yes, but obviously there's going to be some massive games with Beckham. So, but there's certainly nothing wrong with consistency. We love consistency in fantasy football. And that's one of the things that I think has fantasy managers so excited about you, not only in your first couple of years in the NFL, but coming into the season, you're being one of the first 10 running backs drafted every single year. Let's do this. ESPN, what we have to do is we have to project every single player. We project your stats.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read you what we are projecting for you this year, and you tell me higher, lower, you think we're on the money.
All right, cool.
All right. So for this year, we are projecting you get 274 carries, 1,288 yards, rushing yards, 9 touchdowns. We think you catch the ball 27 times for another 214 yards and another touchdown. So ultimately, just about 1,500 total yards, about 300 total touches, 10 touchdowns.
We took worse than last year.
Huh?
So I'm projected to do worse than last year, basically.
Full season of Kareem, I think, is where that comes from.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of going backwards, even with Kareem. So I think everything goes up but the carries.
I like that. I think that's right. I mean, there was a drop in your production, fantasy-wise. I mean, understanding you're being a teammate, you're doing what the Browns are asking for you to do, and that's all you should care about is helping the Browns win a Super Bowl. But fantasy-wise, there was a drop in your fantasy production once Kareem came into the picture. But I think the argument can be made is that while now you'll have a full year of Kareem, and yes, he'll take some touches away from you. Obviously, he's a weapon. The Browns are going to want to use him. The offense under Kevin Stefanski, adding Austin Hooper, another year of Baker under center, another year with OBJ, all you guys together for another year. The offense should be more efficient, more scoring opportunities. You'll hold the ball longer, more sustained drives. And so that maybe counterbalances that.
Yeah, I agree.
Good. I like it. I like the optimism. I'm taking the over as well. I don't know who does these projections. It isn't me. I'm your friend, Nick, not the in the back. Just so you know, it ain't me. It's that Mike Clay guy, probably. Listen, Nick, you've been terrific in your career. Please stay safe. Please stay healthy. I wish you much success this year, both in fantasy and real life, to the Browns. You know, I'm excited about the offense to see what you guys do under Stefanski. Sure. You know, continued success to you in the NFL and in life.
I appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
Well, there you have it, Field, the definitive Nick Chubb interview. I love the confidence of Nick saying, like, yeah, man, I don't care if Kareem Hunt's there for the full year. My projections are too low. I want to do better than I did last year. So certainly fantasy managers that draft him are very happy to hear that from Nick.
Absolutely, a guy who's got great humility, but also plenty of talent. I think that shined through during that interview, Matthew. Good stuff there. And you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that we'll do anything for some content. That'll keep going, because despite the continued quarantine, we're going to find ways to be back on the podcast. Perhaps we'll do something that has absolutely no relevance to football, if we can think of a topic, or perhaps we'll just keep up with the football news, because although we are in the middle of the pandemic, there's still some football news to work with here or there. Always good stuff from you, Matthew Berry. Anything happening in your world that you need to plug before we say goodbye?
Well, the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, we have a new episode that was about a week ago or something like that. But if you haven't checked that out, still you should do that. I have my rankings up, Field. You have your rankings up as well, as do the entire ESPN Fantasy staff. Secret Squirrel, Daniel Dopp, joining the panel of rankers this year, Field Yates. So
love to see it, Matthew. You just love to see it.
I could not believe he had Matthew Stafford at number one overall. That was a weird one for me, but we'll see how that plays out over the course of the season. But anyway, we're excited to welcome Daniel Dopp and his rankings. It's yet another thing that we can make fun of him about.
It was tough, Matthew, because, you know, Bob Iger, as one of the last things he did before stepping down as the CEO of Disney, is he called me personally and said, I need you to save this failing fantasy department. Please, Daniel, do anything you can to just bring it back up to speed. So, you know, this is just I really just do a favor for Bob.
I understand what we appreciate. We appreciate Bob looking out for us. We certainly appreciate Bob looking out for us. And then these fantasy roundtable things that Field, you and I are doing, those have been running on Those have been running on ESPN.com every single day. So it's I believe it's ESPN Plus. I believe it's behind the paywall, correct. But check that out. Me and you and Eric Carabel, Tristan Cockroft, Matt Bowen, Mike Clay, Daniel Dopp, that's Stefania Bell, the whole crew weighing in on the most important topics of this offseason. And, you know, sign up for a league. It's open. You can do it. ESPN.com/fantasy.
Never not the right time.
That's right. It's always a good time to get yourself ready for fantasy football ahead. For Matthew and our rankings extraordinaire, Daniel and Kyle, who provided excellent research as he always does. I'm Field. We'll talk to you guys sometime soon. We promise. Peace out.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy. Focus.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.